This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Milwaukee Magazine president and publishing icon Betty Quadracci died this week. Quadracci co-founded the printing company Quad Graphics with her late husband Harry in 1971. The company purchased Milwaukee Magazine in the 1980s, and Quadracci served as its publisher until earlier this year. But while Quadracci was well known for her role in the publishing industry, she's also being remembered for her work as a philanthropist and as an educator. She founded the Waukesha Montessori School in 1965, and she helped create Waukesha's Head Start program there 3 years later. Kurt Chandler and Ann Christensen both worked for years with Betty Quadracci in their roles in Milwaukee Magazine, and they join me in the studio now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Let's start with how Betty Quadracci shaped Milwaukee Magazine. She took it over and became publisher in the early 80s, right?
Quad Graphics bought the magazine. Harry and Betty bought the magazine in 1983. And Betty did not become publisher immediately. It was, I think, a few months, maybe a year before she assumed that role or was appointed that role, selected. And she had a little bit of a tough time at the start because people didn't take her seriously. They thought maybe this was just a job she could fill to kill some spare time.
They thought she was a dilettante in this sort of thing?
Yes, and she was not, as she proved over and over and over again. She really developed a vision, I think, for the magazine to do some edgy, hard-hitting reporting, and she wanted the best writers and photographers in not only the city but the state to contribute to the magazine. I mean, she wanted to make a difference in town. She wanted to be involved in the issues of the day. She wanted to promote the arts. She wanted to understand and profile people who were driving the city. And so it wasn't just another city magazine. It became a force that other local media were forced to reckon with. And if you compare it to other city magazines around the country, Milwaukee Magazine has had a national reputation for taking on those hard issues and being a little sassy at times, a little edgy and out front. And that was Betty's vision. It really was.
So it really wasn't like that before she took over?
I would say not. I mean, this was before my time, before Kurt's time. But the previous owners, it was a much different publication from what I've seen, because I've long gone through the archives of issues going back to the late 70s. At one point, the old WFMR owned the magazine. There was a very different voice there. And I would say for certain, you know, there wasn't that same kind of sense of the hard-edged and really, you know, getting at controversial issues.
Oh, yeah. Betty wanted the magazine to probe, and she wanted the magazine to take on sacred cows in Milwaukee. And it has over the years, and it will continue to. And that was not following anyone else's vision. That was Betty largely, and of course Harry, making that commitment. They had, I think, deep, deep feelings and convictions for the civic issues of Milwaukee. And as people see in their philanthropy, you know, they really were devoted to this city. And that, I think, came through in the magazine that they published.
You mentioned the word vision a couple of times, and I think that is a word that people seem to be associating with her across the board, whether it was with the magazine, whether it was with her philanthropic donations, whatever she attacked, it was with a vision in mind and with a real passion.
Well, you know, amongst ourselves, we've talked about how, and things I've observed many times over the years, was just how much fire there was in her and her curiosity just about everything. And she worked harder probably than anybody I have ever seen, really. And you know, I've worked with a lot of editors. I've worked with a lot of writers who, and knowing the kind of being a workaholic and being a perfectionist and being that sort of having that sort of personality. I mean, she was tireless in the way she would attack things and approach things, and the way she would run her business. She was, you know, extremely canny and very and just like people have said, the courage that she had. I think she just wouldn't really let go. And that came across when you would meet her in person, too. She's very, very warm. But also, I mean, she right away, you know, she wanted to know who you were, and she focused in on you immediately and asked you a million questions.
It wasn't just lip service either. I mean, she had a genuine curiosity, really a reporter's curiosity, although she wasn't a journalist or didn't go to journalism school. Her mother did, interestingly. But Betty wanted to know about you. She wanted to know about the world. And she wanted to involve herself, engage herself in things around the city and the world. And she was challenging. She was direct. But she was also very charming. And she could win you over to her ideas and her commitment and devotion to issues and to really quality work.
Do you think it was the combination of that warmth and that sort of hard-headed, really laser focus that she had that made her so effective?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she was a hands-on person. Whether she was sitting on the board of directors of the art museum or becoming involved with the arts community, the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, or education. She was a Montessori teacher early in her career. I mean, she wasn't standing on the sidelines ever. She wanted to be involved. She wanted to get her hands dirty.
And she was a publisher, too, who, you know, although she wasn't doing like line-by-line editing, anything like that, I mean, she knew what we were working on and what our covers were going to be and had her own ideas about things and her own input, you know. But she also, you know, I never felt like she pushed, you know, any type of
she didn't
idea.
Have an agenda.
No,
or
she
anything.
Did nothing like that. You know, and I mean, I cover restaurants, and I felt like she always wanted to know. She always wanted to know what the hot new restaurants were. She always wanted to know that. But
she was playful too.
She was incredibly playful, and she always, you know, she always wanted to know where she could get a good burger, which seems really odd when you think about it. But no, this woman loved a good hamburger. She's very, you know, just a very simple type of thing like that, that is kind of universal. Everybody loves a burger, right? But she, you know, she'd get me in these conversations and I would sometimes just laugh. And she would just get this really cute little playful look in her face. And this was just talking about restaurants, you know. But she always, you know, she always wanted to know what you were working on and what are you doing, and are you getting all the help you need? Are you working hard enough? I mean, she took a great interest in everybody on staff. You know?
So it sounds like a good boss.
A good boss, a tough boss. Again, a challenging boss, but she was inspiring. She really was, because she engaged people. She did. She wanted to know genuinely what you were doing, what you were about, who did you talk to, and what else can you ask for in a publisher?
And she backed you up when things proved to be difficult?
She was embarrassed, I'm sure, among her circle of friends for really hard-hitting stories that the magazine did. She probably, you know, caught a lot of crap at social gatherings, but she never backed down, and she always defended the magazine.
Always, always supportive. I mean, it didn't matter, you know, what it was. I mean, she stood by us.
Yeah, she did.
You know,
she had our back, and that was important. I mean, that's what made the magazine as tough and in some cases strong and courageous as Betty was.
So how do you go forward then?
Well, her vision has shaped the magazine and has influenced various institutions in town, and the ship is still sailing. We're going to continue on that vision, on that mission, you know, with Betty as our inspiration, because that's where she took us and that's where we'll continue to move. I have no doubt that the magazine will continue on doing the quality work that she guided us towards, even though she's gone.
I feel like, you know, I think the worst thing would be if a magazine like ours, like her magazine, would not move forward. Mm-hmm. That's what she would want us to do. That would be a legacy, one of her legacies. And I can't see any other way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure we'll be questioning yourself on a direction of an article or a cover or an art design. And we might even in the back of our heads be thinking,
what would Betty say?
What would Betty think about this? Absolutely.
What do you think Milwaukee has lost with her passing?
Well, they've lost an innovator, a visionary, and somebody who truly stood up for her convictions, for what she believed in. If you just look to the east and see that beautiful building along the lakefront, not only did she and Harry write a check to make that a reality, but they were involved, particularly Betty, in getting that building up. I'm talking about the art museum, of course, the Calatrava edition. And those kind of new leaders, I would call them, are very important to the city. And I don't think there are as many leaders such as Betty Quadracci in this town. And to lose one of them is a big loss.
I'm also going to speak just from gender, too, and say for women, you know, like myself, to see someone, a woman like this in power, a woman of this kind of power, was really inspiring. So, you know, I think of that part, too.
So we've lost that as well.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in and talking a little bit about Betty and about her legacy. It is a big one and big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Kurt Chandler is chief editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and Christensen is senior editor and dining critic. Milwaukee Magazine president and former publisher Betty Quadracci died Monday night. She was 75. A special edition of the magazine honoring her will be published in February. Coming up next, we'll learn about an old medical enemy, sepsis, and some new ways we have of diagnosing it and treating it. Stay tuned for more of Lake Effect on WUWM right after this.